This is the Pick of the Bunch by Basic Bananas, where we share the pick of the bunch when it comes to marketing, business, and people.
In this episode, you will discover how to effectively use email marketing to grow your business. Also, how to get more people to read your emails. Also, we talk a little bit about the frequency of how often should you send an email to your customers, to your list. And we talk a little bit about the best email subject lines. Have fun. Happy listening. Hi, and welcome back to Pick of the Bunch. Today, I am actually live with one of my dear friends, Adam Franklin. Hey, Adam.
Hey, Francesca, how are you?
I'm very good. And Adam is the founder of Blue Wire Media. And the reason why I bribed him into coming on the show today is because he is a little bit of a master and a legend when it comes to traffic generation and also email marketing. And so what I thought I would do is ask if he could maybe tell us a little bit more about his favorite sort of email marketing strategies. Also, I want to talk a little bit about subject lines and it really what sort of emails get the best response. So maybe you just take it away when it comes to what's your favorite thing to say when it comes to email marketing?
Well, my favorite thing to talk about with email marketing is actually growing an email list in the first place, because a lot of people will often say that email marketing is dead. They'll say that it's, you know, grandfather's technology.
Yes.
But it is still, in my opinion and my experience, the powerhouse of online marketing. The reason being is that we've all got an email address, whereas we're not all on Facebook, we're not all on Twitter, we're not all on Instagram. But typically people in business and most people in general have an email address, and we check it more often than we should. So the fact of the matter is that we have this powerful tool that we all use and we all use for business purposes. And you've got to remember that there's a human being at the other end of each of these email addresses. So if you can grow an email list of, say, 100 people, that's like having a room full of 100 prospects who you can communicate with at the click of a button. So it's a really, really powerful tool. You know, if you compare that to, say, 100 Twitter followers or 100 Instagram followers, they're not always paying attention, as much attention to what you're saying. There's a lot more free-falling information, I guess, if you think of your news feed on Twitter or Instagram. So email marketing, for me, is definitely the cornerstone of what you do with your online marketing. But, of course, you need to grow an email marketing list, which is a lot easier said than done.
Maybe I quickly want to ask you a few questions, and then we'll talk about how to grow the list. But I'm so glad that you talk about how it still is the cornerstone of a great digital marketing strategy. Now, maybe one question that we get asked a lot is, what sort of an open rate should you expect on your list? And also the second thing is, sort of the second question, you can actually train people to open your emails. And so if your open rate is maybe not super high, what are some things you can maybe do to increase the open rate? So maybe first question, how big is the should the open rate be average on average? And then how can you get it to be higher?
Okay, great. So the average open rate depends on the size of your audience or the number of subscribers you've got. And I remember a few years back, if you were getting a 20% open rate, that was considered really quite good, especially if you had an email list, say, in the range of 1,000 people to 10,000 people. Mm-hmm. These days, the average open rate is dropping quite a bit. And there's also it should also be taken with a grain of salt, because a lot of the email systems that we use, whether, you know, we've all got the email systems we use, but oftentimes the deliverability and the reporting of who opens it isn't actually accurate. For example, I've had people that have bought my course or have spoken to me at an event and said, I love getting your newsletter. Mm-hmm. I'll actually look them up in my system, and it appears from the metrics that they haven't opened anything.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Why is that just a system failing?
Yeah, I've done this before, because I often like to go through and clean my email list, because I don't want to be having all these people who aren't interested. But then I look at them, I go, but I spoke to this person last week and she said that she actually read my email, but according to the stats, she hasn't.
Maybe you're using your shitty software. That's a bit sad to know, because we actually clean our database too, because we sort of take out the people that have never opened anything. But then
Me too.
But then you shouldn't take them out, maybe.
Well, that's one of the things that I grapple with, because I want to take people off, but I also know that sometimes the reporting isn't 100% accurate, whether it's because they open it in a preview mode or whatever, you know, whichever way they're doing it. So, look, as a rule of thumb, 15 to 20% for an open rate is really good.
Yeah.
One really simple technique to get a 10% higher open rate is to simply send your email the first time and then send it again to the people who haven't opened it. So a week later, you know, people don't really go back into their emails that are more than a week old. So after a week or even 5 days, just send it to the unopened people. And, of course, a percentage of those will open it too. So I find that a very simple way
to
increase an open rate.
And, you know, I even like that segmentation because sometimes, and I even get lazy, sometimes you would have, say, we've got a webinar coming up, and we would send an email, and then we would send it again, and then again, you know, maybe 3 times in 2 weeks. But actually, it probably is a better idea to just send it to the people that haven't opened it yet, so you don't keep sending the same email to the same people that have already seen it. So I think that's quite a good strategy.
Yeah, it's a very simple, easy one to just to get that extra 10 or so percent open rate. You might change the subject line, but keep the body copy exactly the same. So it also depends as well on how big a segment of your list you're sending it to. So the stats that I was talking about there, like 15 to 20%, that's a great open rate if you're sending a broadcast to your entire list, but you'd expect a much higher open rate if you were sending it out to a segment of, say,
only your clients, maybe.
Yeah, to only your clients, or only your customers who've actually bought something from you in the last 6 months. They're going to be a lot more receptive to your emails, you would think, than somebody who might have been sitting on your email list for 5 years and never actually done much. So you'll get a much higher open rate than that if you just send specific relevant information to segments of people on that list.
Awesome. So now let's talk a little bit about how you can grow your email list, and then I also want to ask you a little bit about subject lines.
Okay, great. So there's lots of different techniques for growing your email list depending on where you are in your journey. So if you're literally starting out, let's say, an email list of zero, then the types of things you want to be doing really is a one-to-one approach with people that you know. So what I did in the early days is I asked people, I said, I'm about to start this Blue Wire News email that I'm going to send out on a monthly basis. Back then it was monthly. And
how frequent is it now?
Now it's once or twice a week.
Okay.
Yeah,
maybe you talk about frequency after.
Yeah, talk about frequency afterwards. And so I would one by one get people opting in to receive it. And if you're starting from zero, that's honestly the best way to get that critical mass of, say, 100 people. Because if your friends and business colleagues and people that know you aren't prepared to receive your emails, then it's going to be pretty difficult to get, you know, strangers. So do reach out to people one-on-one. I say one-on-one because if you do a group Facebook message or a group LinkedIn message, people go, oh, yeah, right, or whatever. But if you say, hey, Francisco, I'm starting this thing, I think you might get some value from it because this is what I'll talk about. I'll send it every Friday.
Even, you know, one thing we used to do when I used to go networking a lot in the beginning of when Basic Minds was completely new in eight, 9 years ago, and we had no one on the list, I would just, when I'm networking, I would just, when I speak to, say, Adam, I meet Adam, hey, what's up, la la, talk, introduce, and then I would just ask, say, hey, Adam, once a week I'm sending this email which has the latest marketing strategies in it, would you like to receive it? So that's a really good way also when you just meet people in person, is to just ask them if you think they're a good fit for your information.
Absolutely, because all you need to get is that permission, that consent. If they say, yes, you can send me something, whether they give you that consent in person or whether it's through a Facebook message or a LinkedIn message. Yeah, exactly, one-on-one.
And they can't hardly say no when you're in a Facebook message, they can just ignore you. I ignore most of those Facebook messages, but if you ask me face-to-face, I'm like, yes, okay.
That's when they write down their friend's email address and go, here's my email address.
Yes, exactly, so or just some random.
Yeah.
Can I get your number? Yeah, here is my number. It's got the last digits are not the right ones.
Exactly. Okay, so that technique will get you to about, you know, that's a pretty easy way to get to 100 subscribers. Yeah. After that, you're looking to then get to the 1,000-person mark. And a good thing you can do then, well, firstly, is write good emails that are consistent and that actually have a bit of personality, they teach you something, and that your readers actually like. And then one of the things that I found useful was just to put a call to action in the email saying, hey, you know, you've received my emails for the last month or so. I hope you found them valuable. Hey, if you can think of a friend who works in marketing that is also either a marketing manager or a business owner, you think would find it valuable, you know, please feel free to forward it on to them. And, you know, if
that's cool.
If each of you did that, you know, my audience would grow and more people would get the benefit of the type of content that I'm sharing here. So getting your audience to go to work for you is a very powerful way to do that as well, because referrals from friends are obviously much more impactful than just some stranger hitting you up. Yeah, cold traffic. So that's pretty good. And then, of course, if you do that, they need to actually have a mechanism to subscribe. So I would say forward this to them, and here's the link that they can actually click on to opt in to receive the newsletter. So that's another way. Guest blogging is also another good way to grow your email list to that 1,000-point mark. Well, it's a good technique all round, particularly when you're early on. So you might write an article for, say, the Basic Bananas blog, and typically once you write an article for somebody, you have what's called an author bio, which means you can just put a couple of lines about yourself and about your business. And what I like to do in that is say, if you found this article interesting, you can receive my weekly updates, and here's the link to sign up for it. And so, again, you're getting your message in front of a new audience, and of course, hopefully a small percentage or a large percentage of those people that read your guest blog post would actually opt in and join your list.
Yeah, and to be able to do a guest blog post, would you just approach someone that you think has the same audience and then just say, hey, I've written a few articles, would you like to publish one on your website? Do you have a specific sort of way to approach other people with other blogs to be published on?
Look, I do, and it depends on the size of the blog as well. If they're about the same size as you and you've got a personal relationship, then it's obviously quite easy.
Because then you exchange, basically.
You know each other, that this person's going to write good quality content.
Okay.
If you're reaching out to a bigger blog, you might need to prove that you've got a few runs on the board and give a few examples of other sites that have published you, examples of your own work. And also it depends. If you're reaching out to a friend, it's going to be a lot easier. If you're reaching out to a stranger, again, you might need to warm that relationship up a little bit by...
Send chocolates or something.
Send chocolates, yeah. Do something nice and generous. Send chocolates. Retweet some of their work. Leave a few comments.
Yeah.
Link to them. Those types of things.
Awesome. And then what next?
So those two techniques should get you to about the 1,000 mark reasonably, not easily, but if you do the work, then you'll get there. Then you can start to look at things that are going to amplify the growth a bit quicker.
Yeah.
And that's talking about things now like doing joint venture webinars. So a bit like a guest blog post for one another, I might host a webinar for you, or you might host a webinar for me. So that would get you to the 1,000 mark reasonably easily. Of course, if you do the work, you know, you write a few guest articles. The next things that you can be looking at are things that are going to amplify that list growth a bit faster. So we're talking about things like doing a joint venture sort of webinar swap, or what I call a lead magnet swap. So a lead magnet swap is probably the safest place to start, because the way that would work is that if I've got what we call in marketing lingo a lead magnet, which is basically a gift, something that's valuable, that helps somebody get a little win. If you have that, then other people might promote that to their own readers. So you really want to be trying to form these partnerships where if you send something of mine, I'll send something of yours.
What's the best lead magnet you've ever seen? Because this is one of those conversations that I sometimes have with people, because there are so many bad ones out there. What's one of your favorite ones that you have ever seen? I'm putting you on a spot here.
Well, I've got the ones that have performed the best for me. I mean, there's ones that I've received that I've really quite liked. I particularly like, you know, one page concise checklist. So when I was learning to do webinars, I downloaded a one page webinar sort of
checklist
that basically laid out the timing of a webinar. The first 5 minutes do this, the second 5 minutes do this, and I thought, oh, there's that structure I need. So I've tried to emulate the things that I've liked a lot. So I try and do marketing templates, and the best performing one for us has been our web strategy planning template. That's one that we co-created with David Meeman Scott back in 2010. And it was, we designed it because we wanted to be able to convey to prospects how the web universe worked, and for them to feel empowered and to understand what all these funny sounding things like Twitter and Facebook were, and SEO, and how it all fit together and how it actually helped them achieve their commercial outcomes.
So it's not like a one-pager or two-page document?
Yeah, it was one-page diagram on the front, and then on the back side was like the buyer persona, customer avatar side of things.
Yeah.
So very simply, we could convey what we'd spent months and months sort of interviewing people, reading, going to seminars, but we didn't expect them, our clients, to have to do all that, so we could convey it to them. And it was really concise. They felt like they knew what the big picture was. We put that up on our website. Lots of people downloaded it, and we continue to update it each year. But essentially, it's work that we did 6 years ago, 7 years ago, that continues to attract more and more people into our marketing ecosystem. And so doing a lead magnet swap like that, I might say to somebody, I've got this marketing template that people have found really useful. If you could send that off to your email list, and some people that like it might like to join my email list, and vice versa. I've shared stuff to my audience. I know my audience likes templates. So, for example, I shared how to connect with influencers, how to connect with VIPs via email, a template on that from a guy that I know. And I knew that would resonate well with my list. So that's what I refer to as a lead magnet swap. And it's, again, all about forming the relationship with the person that you want to partner with. And then it's a really good way to amplify or accelerate that list growth.
And making sure that whatever they give you is really amazing too, because if you send out just some random stuff just to do some swaps, you'll burn your list very quickly. Because there are, I've seen lead magnets that I would never want to put anyone through. So you just got to make sure that, I guess, what you are sending out for this other person, the lead swappee, is amazing.
Absolutely, yeah. And the people that you associate with and the content that you share has got to be useful for your audience, and got to be aligned with what you value, because, again, you're going to erode trust so quickly that there's no point just doing it for the sake of trying to get some fast growth, because they're just going to abandon you. You're going to lose trust. You're both going to erode trust with your audience. But the next level of that is doing like a joint venture webinar, where you might educate some of my audience on a certain topic, and I might educate your audience on a certain topic. And again, the people that opt in to receive the training then go into your email list. So there's some of the best ways that I've certainly found to grow an email list.
Yeah, and really almost every business owner can really go about any of these. If you just pick one, even after listening to today's show, if you pick one of those and you go really hard on that one strategy for 4 weeks, you will see results. No doubt. You just need to take action. Now, the other thing that I promised to share, well, for you to share, is frequency and subject lines. Let's start with frequency. But, if a business owner asks you, how often should I send an email to my list? What do you say?
I say that the gut instinct normally is to just go, well, I don't want to annoy my list very often, so I'm only going to communicate with them maybe every quarter, maybe every 6 months. And my response to that is, people are going to forget who you are after 3 months, especially after 6 months. And if you email them once they've forgotten who you are, then you're going to get unsubscribed from, you're going to get marked as spam, and you're going to have missed this huge opportunity to actually nurture a relationship with a prospective customer. So I always say, start monthly at the very least, and aim to build up to fortnightly or at least weekly. Because you don't just want to be the friend that turns up when they need something, turning up when you've got something to sell. You want to be the friend that turns up week in, week out with valuable, useful stuff that's going to help the readers, help the people on the email list. And I know that can sound scary for people, because they have this sort of mentality that people don't like emails and I don't want to be a spammer and all of this, but comes down to the content that you put in the email and how valuable and useful you are. So maybe start with monthly if you're brand new, and then try and work your way up to fortnightly or weekly.
And it also depends on the business. If you're an architect, they probably don't want to hear from you every second day. But if you're a time management consultant or a health consultant, maybe a weekly recipe would be pretty cool. So I think it also depends a little bit on your industry.
That's true, and it also depends on how far you are along with this journey with whoever's signed up. So when people are brand new to your company, typically they're quite hungry for information.
Exactly.
So if you are an architect and you're considering getting your house architecturally designed or whatever, then you're going to be quite hungry for information. So people might start going through what's called an email autoresponder series, where it might be every day for the first week because they're looking for all this inspiration and information. But then maybe once the project's done or once they've been on the list for a year, you might drop that back to fortnightly.
Yeah.
It totally depends on
where they are. No, I just had this word in my head. I have to share it because I can't get it out. If you want to get your house architecturalized.
That's architecturalized.
If you want to get your thing architecturalized, then maybe you want to hear more. Hey, what about subject lines?
Subject lines, okay. I did a bunch of testing a while back on subject lines.
Did you test architecturalizing?
I didn't, no, I haven't tried any of your made up words. But I'd like to see how they perform.
We should test some.
I'd love to see the results of that.
Okay, what about your tests?
I tried a bunch of things. So you've got to also keep in mind how people are viewing their email. So some people are looking at on a phone, which has a much shorter amount of characters that you can see versus on a laptop where you might have a longer subject line that's visible. So you've got to bear in mind how people are looking at it. And, of course, mobile devices are becoming more and more popular. So you don't necessarily have the luxury of being able to have a huge long subject line, nor do you necessarily want to. But some of the things I tested were things like I call my newsletter the Blue Wire News, so I did a test between having Blue Wire News in capital letters in square brackets and then like a short description of what was in it. And I A-B split test that against having Blue Wire News just in capital sentence case, so capital B and then lowercase blue wire, capital N, and then news. So
without the brackets?
Yes, with the square brackets as well. So the only difference was capitals versus capitals, and the rest of the subject line is the same. So which do you reckon would have worked better out of those?
I think the capitalized one.
Yeah. Yeah, the capitalized one did work better.
I wonder also, have you ever tested with brackets and without?
No.
So that would be interesting, because we use brackets too, but we don't use the capitalized at the moment, but you will see soon after this episode our newsletters are going to come out capitalized with architecturalized literalization in it too. That's cool. What else? I like that. So maybe some capitalization.
Yeah, some, but not too much, because you don't want to be screaming at your readers.
I don't like that either. Yeah.
And it also depends on what other people are doing too. Mm-hmm. And when I did the test, it stood out because a lot of people were just using
there's just the brackets and lowercase.
Brackets in have no case, but
have no case. But yeah, brackets
the brackets,
case,
but yeah, but the words in capitals.
Just the brackets, no lower or uppercase, just no case. Is there any other ones that you tested that you want to share?
Yeah, so one of the things, the four letter F word that you like using, free, is
you can't use that in the subject line.
Back in the day before,
you could,
Oh, no, you'd get in trouble back. I mean, you could, but you'd also get
micro-spam. Doesn't it get spammed a little bit?
The Gmail filters or the email filter is a lot smarter now than they used to be.
So, you get away with it a little more.
Yeah, I tried a subject line with ebook, and then a subject line, exactly the same, except one had free ebook. Yeah.
Okay, so it worked, actually.
And I was wondering which one would perform better. And which one do you reckon perform better?
Probably free ebook if it goes through the spam filter.
Yeah.
If it doesn't get caught.
Yeah. And it doesn't get caught.
You should have seen Adam's look on his face when he looked at me. He just looked at me as if I need to go to some loony bin or something.
No, not at all.
It doesn't get caught. Great, so it's the one with free.
Well, in this particular case, it was the one without free.
Really?
Yeah. I thought the free would have worked better.
Okay.
I guess
it's just about split testing, right?
It is, and it wasn't a huge difference, but in this particular one, because I often I sell stuff on my email, I have lots of free stuff as well, so the fact that it was a free ebook might have been more appealing.
Yeah.
But by the same token, I don't know, sometimes free has the perception of not as much value as a paid ebook. So there's lots of different ways to, try and make sense of the data. But it is fun. For me it is anyway, but I love doing marketing experiments and sharing some of these things that I've learned. And it also depends what other people are doing as well. One of the best techniques that I've found when I'm trying to think of what to put on a subject line is to go to my promotions tab in Gmail or whichever folder you get all of your marketing emails sent to, and have a look at the actual emails that you've clicked on yourself.
Yeah, what was enticing?
Yeah, what was enticing about it, and look at it and go, was it the subject line? Was it the fact that this person communicates with me on a regular basis and I trust the company or trust the person? Or was it something particularly intriguing about what they've said or how they've written it? So whenever you're short of inspiration, I always find if I go to my promotions tab and I look at what I've clicked on, that normally gives me something to model or something to emulate.
And also just split test. And most of the softwares, the database management software that you use nowadays, it's so easy to split test. So I think that's just a good exercise to do for anyone listening to. Now, you mentioned before you share some of your findings with people. Where do you share them? Where can people find your awesome gold nuggets that you share?
I share a bunch of stuff on our blog, which is bluewiremedia.com.au/blog. I've got 33 marketing templates, which people can sort of use and plug and play or even rebrand and use in their own marketing consultancies if they want.
Mm-hmm.
You can get all of those at bluewiremedia.com.au. There's a big button on our homepage to click. And there's our podcast as well, which is Web Marketing That Works. And you can find that on iTunes and all the other places where you find podcasts.
Awesome. Any last famous words?
Last words to round out the show. Yeah, I always like to encourage people just to start and do that. Take that first step, because you can get so overwhelmed even listening to like just a couple of podcasts or reading a couple of blogs. There's all these different techniques and tactics.
And sometimes even contradictory.
Often contradictory. What works for somebody doesn't work for somebody else. But just pick something and just start with it, and don't feel the pressure of having to do everything. Take that first step and start the journey, and the rest will fall into place. But it's that first step that's usually the hardest. So
isn't there such a great quote? I wish I could just pull it out. The journey to the moon, leap to the moon was like, oh no, actually it doesn't even apply here. But it's something I wanted to say. Leap to the moon is like sorry guys, I can't remember the quote. Do you remember that quote about leaping to the moon and a step for human mankind? But it's probably
one small step for.
But there is something about small steps.
I like the one. A journey of a mile, 1,000 miles starts with a single step.
Yeah, because the moon one, I think, is a completely different meaning. Hey, but I think we should stop here because I'm starting to get confused with all these quotes in my head. But thanks again for listening, and we catch you on the next show. Thank you, Adam, for being here.
Thanks for having me, Francisca.
To get more from Basic Bananas and to learn new ways to grow your business with clever marketing, visit basicbananas.com.